Blog Talk Radio.
Of the show I'm doing a bit earlier than our normal show, which is normally at 12 noon, but since I have some prior engagements to deal with later today and I didn't want to have to do a show after, you know, much after 12 or whatever, so I said let me get the show out early in the morning. The show is brought to you by TDK Visions Inc. and I am your host with the most, Tafari XL. And you can find me on Instagram at Tafari XL and Twitter at Tafari XL and on ReverbNation.com/Tafari XL. And if, when you go to Reverb Nation, what I'd like you to do, what I'd like you guys to do is to go there, sign up with my mailing list. Please sign the mailing list so that we can get out to you content and new things and such that we have going on, projects that I'm working on producing and putting out. I'm getting messages all over on the internet right now, so that's why I'm kind of in the midst of slowly kind of talking this, but let me try to deal with you guys. So the call-in number is 929-477-3093. As I said, go to ReverbNation.com, join that mailing list so you can get up-to-date information on any new projects that I'm currently working on, releasing, and any music and such that I'm producing, releasing, and any performances. actually in the month of June so far. I have two performances that I'm working on, and basically I'm going to give you one. I'm going to just give y'all a hint. One of them is going to be, I'm going to give y'all the location so far where it's supposed to be at, but we'll see. I'll give y'all more information like time and exactly where it is, but one is going to be up in Harlem, and the other one is going to be in Queens in South Jamaica. So I'll be out there performing in those areas. So for all my New York people, my Harlem people, my Queens, Jamaica people, Hollis, Queens people, everybody, my Brooklyn people, everybody in New York, you know what I'm saying? Y'all can come check me out in those locations once I drop, once I further get further details and really firm the situation up. I really don't want to blow it up too much, because I want to make sure that the situation is definitely airtight before I really start promoting and putting it out there. But for right now, those are two places that I expect to be performing in June and in the following month. And I'll give you the locations of the organizations and such which I'm working with to make that happen. So, you know, as I said, today's a Wisdom Wednesday, and we're talking about quality over quantity. And actually, we're talking about quite a few things. We're talking about quality over quantity today, and I'm going to be playing a clip later on in regards to that by a gentleman by the name of Pimpin' Ken. He's a, you know, Pimpin' Ken. He spits a lot of wisdom and a lot of game, and the, you know, of course, he spits game because he was a pimp and all that. You know, he spits a lot of wisdom in some of the stuff he says. He has a kind of unique way of saying it, because he usually puts a little rhyme or whatever into what he's saying, or he rhymes his words when he says it. But if you really check what he's saying, he's really dropping a lot of wisdom and information in what he says. You know, and, you know, he's a very intelligent brother. I have his book, Pimpology, which I believe is the 48 Laws of Game, I think it's called. Let me look. I don't have the book here with me now currently, so let me try to look up Pimpin' Ken's book. He has another book out right now. Sounds pretty dope. Pimpin' Ken Pimpology. The new book he has is called The Art of Human Chess. So yeah, 48 Laws of Game, Pimpin' Ken Pimpology. So that's a pretty dope book. I had that book for a while, and matter of fact, I think I had it when it first came out. And a lot of people might say, and his next book is The Art of Human Chess. Sounds really interesting, and considering what he had put in the first book, that Pimpology book, it should be really dope. And tell you the truth, you know, the brother and everything that he put out and he mentioned, he wasn't telling nobody to go out there and be no pimp, or teaching you how to pimp in that book. You ain't going to learn how to be a pimp or whatever. He's showing you that basically the idea and the concept of pimping is involved in all kinds of different areas and aspects of life. And you know what I'm saying? But only if you choose to open up your eyes and see the game that's around you, would you be able to see that. So, you know, so me, I'm just the type of person, I like to soak up knowledge and wisdom, and I take it from wherever I can get it. I don't judge the source of the information. I judge the information. That's what I do, and I see if I can apply it and if it makes sense to me, and if it can be applied in life, as you should. Well, however, that's just me talking on that. So, you know, you can take it how you want to take it and apply it to how you want to apply it to. So the caller number is 929-477-3093. And so in the clip, Pimpin' Ken talks about quality over quantity. But I want to talk about a couple other things. I want to talk about this George Zimmerman thing with the auction of the gun that was used to kill Trayvon Martin. The Justice Department had sent him back the gun recently, and then he went ahead and he put it up for auction. And let me go ahead and try to get this up. I was looking at it, try to get up the site that auctioned the gun, the website. But I'm going to play a couple of clips for y'all where he basically, one of them is an interview. He's interviewing he's doing an interview and he's talking about, and they're asking him questions and he's explaining why he did the auction or whatever. And then the next clip, they're going to drop certain information that he didn't. So one clip is giving his explanation. The other clip is giving other information that was not given in the interview as such. So I'm going to get into that. And then we're gonna go come right back into it and chop it up some more. So let me get that going and popping first real quick. We're gonna see if we have this one. Let's get the one where he explains why he was doing it.
State of Florida versus George Zimmerman.
A piece of American history. That's what George Zimmerman is calling this handgun. He's the man who says he killed Florida teenager Trayvon Martin in self-defense. Zimmerman now wants to make money off the gun police say he used in the shooting.
We, the jury, find George Zimmerman not guilty.
Zimmerman, who was acquitted of the murder charge, apparently put the pistol up for auction online. He says the gun was just returned to him by the Department of Justice. Zimmerman wrote in the listing, quote, "The firearm for sale is the firearm that was used to defend my life and end the brutal attack from Trayvon Martin on February 26, 2012, end quote. He goes on to say many people have expressed interest owning and displaying the firearm, including the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. The former volunteer neighborhood watchman went to trial in 2013 for shooting 17-year-old Martin after spotting the teen walking in a Florida gated community. Zimmerman called 911 when he saw Martin and then reportedly got into a fight with him. That's when prosecutors say Zimmerman fired the gun at the unarmed teen. Zimmerman says some of the money from the gun sale will be used to fight Black Lives Matter violence against law enforcement officers. The Trayvon Martin Foundation said in a statement the organization has no comment on the actions of that person. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Leisha.
Okay, so that was the Inside Edition clip. And so you see he's using this to talk about he's going to take the money to help organizations that want to fight against Black Lives Matter and claiming that Black Lives Matter is going out because there's a message and a theme that's going out claiming that members of Black Lives Member organization is attacking police officers and such and whatnot. And I just want to talk like it's similar to like how they say that recent roundup of all those people in the Bronx. And they were trying to say that essentially everyone that they rounded up, the police rounded up, were gang members. Now, you know, you'd have to be a fool to believe that. Police, basically coming from New York, I know that police a lot of the times what they do, and they've been doing this for years before they started, they really have started implementing and bringing out these laws and situations where they basically get anybody in the vicinity of a particular crime or what they consider to maybe be a crime or call a crime, especially in the inner city communities. They get everybody, any and everybody, and they just round them up and charge everybody with something, and then they work it out later on. So you don't necessarily, all you have to do is generally, like the phrase goes, be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, so you got to understand, you know, I mean, so that's kind of what's going on with what they're doing with the Black Lives Matter members. They're lumping them and grouping them all into some sort of group that attacks police officers and such and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of the times, is, you know, I'll put it this way, and I don't, even though that's, to me, I believe that's propaganda, but a lot of the times these people that, like a George Zimmerman and these other organizations supporting police officers, independent outside of like PBA unions or whatever, and those guys, even though the police, the PBA guy here in New York, I think his name is Patrick Lynch. I mean, this guy I've never seen. I mean, that's just a clear racist pig, relic. out of, I believe he's around when Giuliani was there and all that. And I mean, these people, they don't give a shit about black people. And so, you know, they never have anything good or anything. They don't come from a perspective of a humanistic perspective when it comes to dealing with anything with black people. So, or humanity wise. So they so when you hear a guy like Zimmerman talking all of this, I mean, he's just trying to, you know, get himself, keep himself aligned, because he probably figures he's some type of folk hero to that, to those white supremacist minded center type of people, and people that have such a animus and animosity towards black people and people of color. So when you hear him say that about how the money's going to do, going for that, then you see where that's coming from. And so, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just pretty disgusting, you know, what's going on. And that's the whole thing. But you see, if you know what black people gotta understand, you can't just complain about that stuff, but you gotta have your political and your economic power up. That way, when situations like this happen or occur, people don't get away with this type of stuff. You know, they don't get away with this. Because if it was a Jewish person, or if it was a person, even a Hispanic, so-called Hispanic person, or person of another ethnicity or group or whatever, they would have their situation set up. That auction could not even go down. Or it would have went down some other, you know, or they would have found some way to, you know, so they would have found some way to block that auction, and all he could have done was just go out there and go pawn that shit. So you gotta check it. So anyway, we're gonna go ahead. I'm gonna play some music. Then we're gonna come back and play that clip, the second clip, where they drop some more information on that George Zimmerman bullshit. We play this Jada Kiss. Realest nigga in the game left, because that's how I'm feeling right now. So that's what we're gonna play that.
Niggas in the game.
right. So it's the Block Report with Tafari XL and his Wisdom Wednesday. And we were talking about George Zimmerman and this auction of this gun. So we have one more clip to play in regards to that. Chop it up a little bit more about that. And then we're going to go into, which is the, and we're going to go into some more stuff and what I originally talked about. So let me go ahead and try and get it in. The caller number is 929-477-3093. Call up with your questions, comments, if you want to join the conversation, and state your piece, state your business. Here's the second clip, y'all.
The ironic part is they made it worth at least $250,000. They gave me $250,000.
George Zimmerman says the reasons behind selling the gun used to kill Trayvon Martin are simple.
Anything I can think of to ensure that Hillary Clinton does not become the leader of the greatest nation on earth.
He also says he will be donating money to officers killed by violence tied to the Black Lives Matter campaign.
I'll sell everything and anything I own to ensure that they... to attempt to ensure that they can no longer hurt men and women in law enforcement.
I also asked Zimmerman about critics who have referred to the auction as a victory lap.
I don't care about them one bit. They didn't bid on it. They don't affect my life. They're completely irrelevant.
Zimmerman says the trial 3 years ago gave him strength.
It gave me the ability to think clearly under pressure.
He says if he knew what was going to happen on February 26, 2012, things would have been different.
I would have stayed in bed if I would have thought I had to take a life in self-defense. I don't think anybody in their right mind would ever want to be in this position.
Okay, so you hear this shithead. So he's saying that basically he's anything to do to keep Hillary Clinton out of office. So he's making it political. You see what I mean? What I was, my statements earlier, that he's really trying to align himself with those Trump supporters and those people of that nature that is on that kick that they don't like anybody that's other than white or that agrees with Trump. So you got to understand that, you know, this is the type of people that you're dealing with. Caller number is 929-477-3093. And then, you know, people, he doesn't care what other people might think about him selling this gun or whatever. They don't affect his life. You see, this is what goes on. This is the type of bullshit that comes out of people's mouths when they figure that they got away with doing what they think they went and did. Now, I can't find his website. I'm not too sure. I've seen he had it on two websites, trying to find his website. I see one website, gunbroker.com. They made a statement, but I'm trying to find, if any of you find the website that sold, that auctioned this gun off, and the gun was auctioned off for over $100,000, I believe $133,000, and whatnot. And this guy is just, you know, he's just going around flying in the face of the Martin family and other people, just doing all kinds of ridiculous things. And, you know, and this is what happens. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And, you know, you can't let, you know, there's got to be a change in the society. Things got to switch up. But let me go ahead and move on to a different point here now. And this is Tafari XL on the Block Report with our Wisdom Wednesday edition. And... the call-in number is 929-477-3093, and we do want to hear from you. Call up. 929-477-3093 is the call-in number. Call up. So let's talk about this. There is a South Dakota tribe opening a weed resort on their reservation. Now, a lot of people, because you see, the weed and marijuana has begun, it's the country, many cities and states have begun making their laws where having possession of weed or having weed or smoking weed has not become a criminal charge anymore, and it's become more acceptable, I guess is the term. So, but it's not criminal. It's not a criminal offense. Although, it's funny because all those people that were arrested before for having weed and did how much hard time for that, it doesn't matter. But now they want to so-called decriminalize marijuana. And then if you notice, too, all these people out there, you see when crack was running around, they was they were arresting people, giving people, I mean, if there was a violent crime committed, okay, arrest them for the violent crime, but they were arresting people for, or other crimes, but they were arresting people for possession of the drug or using the drug and giving them hard time and doing all kinds of decades and years for possession and usage of the drug. But now that, and I noticed before too, once the drug kind of got where it started affecting, you know, it didn't really get that popular, or really, it wasn't really that popular or made popular on TV and the news, how much crack was being used in white communities and such. And the whole thing is, I want you to understand, I'm pointing out the difference of stuff, you know. It's not the same all the way around. And the reason why this is important to point out the difference is because a lot of people is running around in this country talking about, in the United States, where it's equal protections under the law, Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. The thing is this, if you don't address the history of this nation and the so-called principle or the thought of this nation and how it came about, and you don't address the discrepancies and the differences, then you're just running around being totally blind and naive to what's going on. And, you know, and then people will say, well, listen, yeah, sure, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sure, you know. We set it up so that, you know, you'd be denied loans, you know, set up a school-to-prison pipeline, took airmen and told them we were testing them for something, and really we were giving them syphilis and watching them die. Sure, we denied you the right to vote. Sure, we denied you this and that, but hey, get over it. It's not because you were black, and it's not because I'm white. So what I'm saying is, you can believe what you want to believe and see things how you want to see it, but let's be real. And if we're going to be real, you know what I'm saying, once we can be real, then we can go ahead and we can try to get past some of the discrepancies and the painful issues and situations that people have experienced. But if we're going to pretend like we can just move from here without addressing these issues, then, you know, we're not really going to address it and move forward. So, anyway, let me get off that rant. Like I said, the only reason why I brought that up is because you have people who claim to be Native American, and they basically benefit off of these situations, because in South Dakota, a tribe is opening up a weed resort on their reservation. So you're gonna see a lot of pale face type people claiming that there's some South Dakota tribe organization so that they can monetize this weed resort. Okay, we got less than a minute to go. The calling number is 929-477-3093. Call up. If you're not on the line, and when we transfer over to the next 15 minutes of the show, then the last 15 minutes of the show, then we're going to, you have to catch it on the archives. This is the Block Report with Safari XL. Call up. The call number is 929-477-3093. Push 1 if you want to make a question, want to put in a question or a comment, and I'll continue on. You know, they've done it with the casinos, these folks. They've gone in and pretended that they're Native American, get their names on Native American rolls, and they've been able to monetize. Not only that, I hear as well to get the license for the dispensary, that they make it extremely difficult for people, for black people to get that. But, and as you see, most people I see with these dispensaries and such, they don't appear to me to be black, so I can see that there's an issue there as well. And so after they've criminalized us and jailed us and done all of that, now they want to make, and they made money off of us that way, they want to go ahead and make money off of us again. So what I'm saying is, you know, you got to watch the game. You got to watch the game. So here we go. So we're talking about, so the business idea every stunner has had is coming true. A weed resort. All right. The Santee Sioux tribe in South Dakota is opening the resort on their reservation. And they'll grow their own weed and sell it. They'll grow their own weed and sell it in smoking lounges. You can't leave with the weed, though, but it'll be the only legal public smoking venue in America. Okay, public smoking, no doubt. They'll have an arcade, a nightclub, and more. Since it's on tribal land, it's totally legal. It could bring money to impoverished tribes. The resort will open December 31st for a New Year's Eve party. Now, why are there impoverished tribes when the tribes have casinos to make money off of? Because this is the reason why. Because the people that are getting the money off of the casinos are not really interested in the progression of the tribes because they're not really from those tribes. So think about that. Wouldn't that be an oxymoron to you? Wouldn't that sound crazy? These tribes have all of this, have these casinos, but yet still they're not profiting or prospering off of the casino money. The tribes still have out, and there's not that many of them as far as in the population. So that's what I'm saying. You gotta peep game. You gotta peep game and see what's going on. But anyway, let me try to get into my other clip real quick before, because it's like a whole bunch of stuff I've talked about so much. Let me see. Did I get get all my stuff going? Okay, yeah. So let's go ahead and go into the clip from Pimpin' Ken. He was on another show, and I'm just playing the clip from that, and he's talking about quality over quantity, and I want y'all to hear this. And if you can get it, you get it. And I'll talk a little bit about it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But, and I'll try to break it down some for a little bit.
Back in effect. It's been a while. We've been on hiatus for a minute, but it's back in effect. I was gonna say, you got a comment from Shorty Smooth, and he was asking, what's your thinking on quality over quantity, or vice versa? I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's an old saying. You know, I mean, depending on what you're talking about, whether you're talking about business or you're talking about the game. You know, we used to have a saying in the game that I jump on a 10 bars, you know what I'm saying, to get the one good bar. You know what I mean? Because you can have 9 people down with you and one really down with you. The other 9 are number cheerleaders. They just cheering your game off. You know, you can have a corporation, you know, full of workers. You know, you have that one good worker that really can, you know, multitask it, you know what I'm saying, and do what they need to do. And those are the type of people that you want around. You want the good quality. You know what I'm saying? Quantity, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing. I know a lot of guys that count heads, but they don't count bread.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, we don't trip on the numbers. We trip on the cash, you know. So it's really all about the cash, that moolah, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you know, I prefer, me personally, to have quality people around me than to have quantity, you know, because you can have a bunch of people around you. But at the same time, if they're not of standard and they don't meet your standard, then you just have a bunch of people that's around there, you know, just taking up heat, or they're just like trophies. They're just standing around.
Yeah,
you know?
Trophies not bringing nothing to you but attention.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not nothing of value. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of times we get caught up in the look, we get caught up in the numbers, we get caught up in, you know, what people say about us. You know, we feel if we got 6 or 7 people around us, it'll make us look good. If we, you know, I know a lot of people who went out of business because, you know, they wanted to make it look like they had a thriving business. They had a lot of employees, but they wouldn't meet the criteria that it takes to keep their business afloat. So eventually they went out of business because they were too busy showing off and showing up.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of problems people, you know, run into. That's why they kind of wanted me to ask you that, because, you know, a lot of people think a lot of people around them, but ain't, you know, no kind of productive is the thing, and that really ain't.
Well, you know what you're going to end up is probably with one third grade and six wonder grade. You got to wonder about they playing all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no production, you know what I mean? You know, the better the instruction, the better production. And that's a possibility that you can have quality and quantity. But
yeah,
that's a rare case. Because you always going to have disgruntled individuals in the sociology of the human existence.
Yeah.
And whenever people are in a social environment, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's going to rise to the leadership or rise to the top of team number one. And that can, you know, cause havoc within the organization or the movement or, you know, your structure. And it can cause, you know, a lot of problems. And even though it may be qualified individuals, but because their mind is concentrated on the wrong thing, they're thinking about, you know, being number one instead of making you number one, that, you know, that's where the problem comes in at. But, you know, it's easy to manage one or two good individuals than to try to manage, you know, 30 or 40 different people that have different agendas.
All right, y'all. So basically, my man Pimpin' Ken, he was just dropping some gems and some wisdom on basically, you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people, they want to be around a lot of people or have a lot of people around them, and they figure that this now, part of what, he didn't bring this up, but I'm bringing it up, that they feel that this boosts up and brings out their value by having this many people around them or so many people touting them and whatnot and whatnot. But the whole thing is that it's not about a quantity of having a lot of people around you or being around a lot of people. What it's about is having quality people, because, you see, you can have a whole bunch of people around you, but they're not bringing no value to your to you or your enterprise or your entity. They're not bringing no value to your brand, and they're not really, so therefore, if they're not bringing any value, they're kind of holding you back and holding you down. So what you want is, you want quality people, just like a business owner, you want quality employees, because quality people and quality employees, they bring value to you. And once people can recognize that value and see that you have quality people around you, they know that they can't really come around you trying any yin-yang kind of, like, rinky-dink type of game and all that and the nonsense. They know that they've got to come with you straight. They got to be on their P's and Q's. So they gonna, so if they know that their level is not up to a certain kind of level of that quality to which you're representing and exemplifying in the people that you associate yourself with and how you handle your business, then it kind of, it works as kind of as a BS repellent. You keep BS away from you. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's why you want to represent quality and you want to have quality people around you. You know what I'm saying? You want your work to represent quality and you want to represent quality and have quality people around you to keep that whole energy of quality around you. Now, the quantity, you see, you'll be letting in all kinds of other stuff from other people. And not only that, if you have a whole bunch of other people and you're not really vetting them and checking their quality or whatever and checking them at the door, then basically you'll be letting all the other BS and the nonsense in, things of no value and no quality, and then you'll have drama and you have all kinds of nonsense. So you got to put a filter out there is what you got to do. And you got, you know, you ain't got to put it out there like, you know, like put a filter on your forehead or something for people to see it, but the filter starts with you on your inner self. And basically you got to have you utilize a BS filter, and you know what I'm saying, and you put a filter out there to keep the nonsense and the BS away from you, and so that you can just attract quality and bring quality to you and then keep rolling that way. So that's what that is all about, you know what I'm saying? So it's not about, oh, I got all these friends or whatever, and all these people are all my friends or whatever. Okay, yeah, they can all be your friends, no problem. I'm not saying not to be popular. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being popular. It's cool to be popular, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, is that you don't want to, you got to pick and choose and select and elect, select and elect who you want to associate yourself with. You know what I'm saying? And you got to go through that filtering process that you have. And in order to have a filtering process, you got to have certain standards and principles about yourself. And you got to have integrity. So you see what I'm saying? So it goes into all of these levels and different things of being a quality person and being that type of person on that kind of a level. You know what I'm saying? And you could be a quality boss or you could be, you know, a no quality boss. And which one do you want to be? Because, you know, if you're, you know, I mean, or a quality leader or no quality leader, you know what I'm saying? Because you see, a boss or whatever is not really the same as a leader, really. A boss can be a leader, though, you know, so because the boss can show, lead the way and be the example for the employees or the people under them or whatever that's taking orders and following instructions from the boss, you know. Because a boss and leader both can give instructions. Boss gives orders, though, but a leader will give instructions as well. But so, you know, you just, it's all about if you want to, how you want to want yourself to be seen as and how you want to represent. And I think you want to represent quality. So that's our show today. We'll be back on Friday at noon. It's the Block Report with Tafara XL. And our Friday show will be on at noon. Of course, on Sunday, we have our Block Party radio session. And, you know, and of course, we'll be on at that time. You can go to the Facebook page on the Block Report, facebook.com, the Block Report. / the Block Report. You can find me, TafariXL, at TafariXL on Instagram, at TafariXL on Twitter. And you can also find me on Reverb Nation. Go to Reverb Nation and get with me there. Get with me there and sign up for the mailing list for the content and the music and all of that. So y'all have a great and productive and prosperous day. And I'll catch up with y'all on Friday. And y'all have a good one. And we out of here. I'm going to go ahead and we're going with my outro. Peace, y'all.